As Brennan said, my name is J.C. Hartzler. I just want to first off thank you guys for the opportunity to come and speak. FCA has made a tremendous impact in my life through the years, and especially over these past couple of months. So when Mr. Kaiser gave me the opportunity to come speak, talk about FCA, my testimony, and my time at RSU, I jumped on the opportunity. It did make me realize, though, that I'm getting old now that I'm talking about my glory days and my time in the past. It made me think I'm getting like my dad and grandpa, because I've heard so many stories from them over the years. But I'll begin with my playing career. As he said, I went to Union High School, where I was a three-year starter. My senior year, I led my team to an undefeated state championship. I was named the Tulsa World Player of the Year. I was All-State, Conference Player of the Year. I had all these accolades, these great awards, but as far as recruiting, I still only had a couple schools looking at me, Rogers State and Northeastern State University. I didn't have any D1 offers or D1 looks, and at the time, I was kind of confused. You know, I'm thinking I'm living the life that God wants me to. I'm doing the right thing. I'm working hard. You know, why isn't this path that I have in mind, why isn't it working out? You know. And so I would kind of question God and his plan for me, you know. I wasn't sure maybe if he knew what he was doing, but he certainly did. So after lots of prayer, talking with my family, I decided on Rogers State University. And I went in there. I was a freshman on a team of 6 seniors, and 5 of them were Division I transfers.
No.
And so me, I'm just a 6-foot white kid who can not even dunk the basketball, and I'm going to play with guys that are 6'3", 215, and have these amazing talents. But I learned quickly that if I would work hard, play defense, and do what my coach asked me, that the opportunity would be there for me. And about halfway through the season, it presented itself, and I ended up starting about half the games next season. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I wasn't starting because I was better than those guys. I knew that coach wanted to bring some better players off the bench and just have a balanced lineup, but I was okay with that. As a freshman, that was a big, big moment for me and a big thing for me. My sophomore and junior seasons came and went. I continued to work hard. Still trying to be a leader. It's hard when you're an underclassman to step up and really lead, but my junior year, our team finished 2nd in the conference, 1 game behind first place. I was named second team all conference. So I was ready, prepared for my senior year. You know, I had my mindset that I was going to work hard all summer, all fall, and make my senior year unforgettable, go out at the top of the mountain. So in the summers, I'd work from 8 to 3 at my job, and then I'd get off and I'd go to the gym 3 days a week, shoot 1.5 to 2 hours, you know, just trying to improve my craft any way that I could. I took that work ethic into the fall. I probably bugged my coaches. They're probably glad to see me gone, because I'd be up in their office every day asking them to come down and work with me, come down and shoot, anything I could do to get better. I was all about that. We started the season great. We were 11-0. I was playing great. Things were going good. But just like in life, we hit a little bit of adversity. We hit a 3-game losing streak. I went into a shooting slump. I just wasn't playing very well. And I'll never forget a couple conversations I had. One was with my dad. He kind of pulled me to the side, and he just asked me, like, what's going on? You're not playing with any passion. You don't look like you're having fun out there, like you're going through the motions, right? And that kind of hit home for me. And then my coach pulled me to the side, and he kind of asked me the same thing, but in a different way. Like, he told me, you got a lot of guys looking up to you, and you're not stepping up to the plate. And at that moment, I kind of had a realization, you know, this is the last time that I have to play in front of my family and my friends. This is the last time I have to play this game that I love at a competitive level, and this is not the way I wanted to go out. So I did a little bit more, stepped up as a leader, and got our team on the right path. And going into the last game of the season, we were tied for first place with the team out of Dallas Baptist. And we were playing at Dallas Baptist, winner takes all. And it was one of the most incredible games I've ever been a part of, something I'll I'm sure I'll be telling my kids and grandkids for years to come. It was amazing. We actually had our point guard hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to make us conference champions. And I got to embrace my dad and mom at the end of the game, and tears in our eyes, and just hearing them say how proud they were of me, and me being able to thank them for all their support through the years. It was incredible, and something I'll never forget. Later in that week, I was named the Conference Player of the Year. I was Academic All-American, All-District, All-Region. Just these accolades started pouring in. But I'll be the first to tell you that these are all blessings from God. They're not anything of my own doing. Like I said earlier, I'm 6 foot. I can't even dunk a basketball. So it's not by me. It's by God. But I'll be the first to tell you that the choices I made, I probably didn't deserve these blessings. And this kind of leads into my testimony. I was raised in a two-parent household. You know, I went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Wednesday nights. I was involved in all the Christmas programs, singing with those as a kid. I went to FCA throughout middle school and high school. Been to all the church camps. In high school, I didn't drink, I didn't party, I didn't cuss. I wouldn't even allow those around me to do that. And, you know, I didn't want to be involved with that. That just wasn't me. I was focused on God, my relationship with Him, and then the sport that I was playing. But something I realized throughout all those services and FCA and hearing so many testimonies through the years is you hear about these people and these trials they've overcome and these great obstacles that have been in their life and how when they found Jesus, they overcame that. But you don't ever hear, I never heard a testimony about someone who grew up in church, you know, who was always on the right path and didn't have anything. So I looked at my own testimony and I questioned, do I even have one, you know? Is it, you know, like, who's going to be inspired by my story if I haven't overcame anything great, you know? I thought my testimony was all about me. And I looked at my past and I said, you know, that wasn't good enough. So I got to college and I started getting into things that I shouldn't. I started attending parties. I started drinking. I started hanging out with people I shouldn't. And I remember there was a time my freshman year that I would look more forward to the parties on a Saturday night than I would my game Saturday afternoon. And it scared me. And I realized that I had those thoughts, but I didn't change. You know, I'd justify my actions. I'd say, you know what, it's okay. This is going to make for a good testimony. I'll fix myself later down on the road. It's all right. Like, maybe this can reach someone. But it wasn't the life that I wanted to live, but it was a life that I was choosing. I stopped going to church. I stopped reading my Bible. And then it culminated to, in the past about year and a half, I had someone call me out on the life that I was living. And it really just woke me up. And it made me realize that that's not who I am. And that's not who I want to be. So I got back into God's Word. I started going to church again. Distanced myself from the crowd that had me making those bad decisions. And I was at FCA one night. And Mr. Kaiser came and he spoke and he gave the invitation he does every year about FCA camp. And every year I'd have a million excuses of why I shouldn't go. Oh, I have basketball, I need to be working out, or I have work. I'd have a million excuses lined up before he even got the question out. But this year, I don't know, I remember sitting in the top row of the stands and he gave out that invitation and just something inside me stirred and it was like, this is where I need to be. So I went and talked to him after, asked him how I could get involved, and he got me plugged in. And from the moment I met those huddle leaders, I realized that I had made the right choice. There was something different about this group of college kids, and it made me realize that this is something I wanted to be a part of. FCA camp was amazing. I met some amazing, amazing campers. These young boys and girls, they've gone through some things and they're dealing with some things that I could never imagine as a kid. my very first night there, I had a kid come up and see me, and he asked for me to pray for him for strength and for his mother as well. They're in a single parent household. He has several brothers and sister, and he's telling me that he's thinking about having to pick up a second job just so he can help his mom support. And I hear that, and I shed a couple tears with him, and it's hard to hear things like that and not appreciate how blessed I am, you know. And throughout the whole week, many stories just like this. And something I try to preach to those campers is, even if you aren't going through that struggle or have that adversity in your life, maybe you were like me, you grew up in church, you know, and you've always been on the right path, that's okay, because your testimony is still great. You still have a testimony, because your testimony is not about you and it's not about your past. It's who you are. It's about who you are the moment that you accepted Jesus into your heart and what you do from that point forward. And so I'm trying to keep up with my campers and just kind of continue to pour into their lives as they pour into mine. I learned so much from them. It was an incredible week. But it did come and it did end. But after camp, I met, like you said, a family of huddle leaders, of other college age students just like me. And we talk every day. We pray for each other. We come to each other when we're struggling. We challenge each other in God's word to step out in our faith and to speak to others and to be intentional about sharing Jesus with those around us. And I've met a family with these fellow huddle leaders of mine, and I'm so thankful for Mr. Kaiser that he came and spoke at FCA that night, and that the Spirit was stirring inside of me, and that I acted upon that, because FCA, it's been a blessing. One thing throughout my years of middle school, high school, and even college, even when I was going through that stage of not doing what probably God wanted me to do and not living for Him, one constant was FCA. And I don't know why that was. I don't know if it was just me trying to keep up an image. I was fooling everybody but God and myself, but I was always at FCA, so it was the only church I had for a few years of my life, and so it's a very special organization to me. I'm already trying to find ways to get involved for next year at camp. I just want to do anything I can to just let people know just how great this organization is and what it's done for me. I just want to thank you guys again for the opportunity to come and speak and share what God put on my heart. And if there's any questions that you guys might have about me or my time with FCA or my career, feel free. Thank you.